at the firefighters, the police officers, the rescue workers who've been laboring all night here in Lower Manhattan tell us, now that they have daybreak, that they confront three basic problems. Number one, there are still fires burning here in Lower Manhattan. If you look behind me, you can see some of the smoke that's still billowing out of what remains of the World Trade Centers as we look south here on West Broadway. But you can also see the fire hoses 22 hours after the first explosion still spraying water on the buildings. Problem number two is that there are buildings that they still fear will collapse. Of course, what you have is three major structures that have already collapsed, but the great fear is that more buildings have been severely damaged. The third problem is that there's just so much debris that they cannot mount a serious rescue effort. They're in some caverns, the firefighters tell us, looking for survivors, but it is a cruelly slow process. Overnight in New York City, a faint glimmer of hope. At least two victims pulled alive from the rubble. And there may be others still trapped inside the World Trade Center's collapsed remains. Reports of cell phone calls from a few survivors pleading for help.
We do know there are people in the building that are alive. We know that for a fact. We're very hopeful that there are pockets where there are people, not only the ones that we know about, but hopefully others.
But elsewhere, the news is grim. The president last night puts the death toll from the attacks in the thousands. After an estimated 12 to 20 terrorists wielding makeshift knives hijacked four domestic airliners. Brand new video obtained overnight shows the first attack plane crashing into the World Trade Center's North Tower. Minutes later, television helicopters record the second plane crashing into the South Tower. The two 110-story buildings so badly damaged that they collapse. One. After the other. Among the missing, the rescuers themselves. Last night, New York City firefighters and police confirmed that more than 300 of their own are believed dead. And at the Pentagon, site of the third plane attack. Firefighters last night say the death toll could rise to as high as 800 people. Last night, Air Force One, escorted by two fighter jets, returned to President Bush to Washington, where he brands the attacks evil and despicable, vowing that America will win the war against terrorism. The Saudi-born terrorist Osama bin Laden, the prime suspect, Mr. Bush makes a thinly veiled threat of reprisal against his backers in Afghanistan.
We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbored them.
The two hijacked planes which toppled the World Trade Center both originated out of Boston, where this morning, the Boston Herald reports that authorities have identified at least five Arab men as suspects, one of them a trained pilot, and that a car laden with Arabic language flight training manuals was found at Logan Airport's central parking garage. As to bin Laden's suspected role, Senator Orrin Hatch tells the Associated Press that the United States intercepted communications between bin Laden's supporters discussing targets that were hit, and that at least one of the suspected hijackers had known ties to the terrorists. One of the biggest mysteries, why did the fourth hijacked plane not hit a target, crashing instead in western Pennsylvania? One possible explanation, a passenger on the doomed flight reportedly called his wife, telling her, "We're all going to die. I love you." But indicating that he and two other passengers had decided to try to overpower the hijackers. Attorney General John Ashcroft told Congress last night that plane is believed to have been headed for Washington, D.C.